Welcome to Breakthrough Success. I'm your host, Mark Roberti, the content marketing expert, bringing you 5 new episodes every week where I and top-level guests teach you how to take your business to the next level and achieve your breakthrough. Hello, Breakthrough Success listeners. I just wanted you all to know before the episode actually starts, I've been working a little bit behind the scenes to give you something really special. So a while ago, I wrote my book, Content Marketing Secrets, which helps people create, promote, and optimize their content for growth and revenue. And I just put the finishing touches together to offer that for free to anyone who is interested. So if you want your free copy of Content Marketing Secrets, all you have to do is head over to markgoberti.com/book. Now, let's jump right into the episode. Entrepreneurs all value productivity. Productivity is so essential for us accomplishing our goals, reaching our sales targets, impacting more people, just something that we need. So that's why we're going to focus on boosting the amount of productive hours we have. So we're not just doing the busy stuff. We're not just responding to emails all day without really moving the ball forward. We are going to have more, a greater quantity of more productive hours. And that's going to be the focus. And who better to talk about that than today's guest, who is a systems expert and productivity geek, whose job is to help purpose-driven and heart-centered entrepreneurs get 10 to 20 more productive hours each week, stop leaking money, and prevent stress-fueled breakdowns. Before she found her true passion, she spent a decade managing large-scale multi-million dollar projects for high-tech and manufacturing companies. She made the transition because she preferred to truly impact one business owner than being a cog in a huge corporate machine. So that's why she's now going out there to help purpose-driven and heart-centered entrepreneurs. Well, who exactly is this person? Well, today's guest for episode 222 of the Breakthrough Success Podcast is none other than Marina Darlow. Marina, it is such a pleasure to have you on the show.
Hey, Mark. Good being here. Thanks for this generous introduction.
Marina, I'm really happy to have you on the show. And productivity is just something that no matter how much you know about it, you just want to continue learning more about it. And we entrepreneurs just value productivity because we understand that being productive allows us to get the results that we're going after. So that's why we're going to focus on that during our time together. But before we get deep into that, I'm wondering if you could just give us some background and share with us why you decided to begin to help people with boosting their productivity.
There are two reasons for that. One, this is my comfort zone. I'm very, you know, I feel safe when I talk about productivity. This is what I do well. This is what I feel comfortable doing. So it's kind of naturally a thing for me. It's something that I learned pretty early on when I was thrown into the deep waters of my first job in the US, which was probably 5 sizes bigger than I still think they made a hiring mistake. So I had to learn really fast. So that's reason number one. Right now, productivity and systems is something that makes me feel comfortable, makes me, you know, lower my anxiety levels. Sorry. And reason number two, I firmly believe that entrepreneurship, especially one that's really driven from the heart, from the desire to serve people, is the biggest power to change the world. It may sound pompous, but I really do believe that people out there, you know, a select few who have the courage and have the energy and the creativity, these are the ones that are making a true difference. Now, I'm there to support these people because I'll be honest, I don't necessarily have the most groundbreaking ideas when it comes to big tectonic shifts. But I can be a brilliant COO to these people. Entrepreneurs that I work with, the world changers, the visionaries, very often are the very people who struggle with systems. Why? because a visionary and a manager are actually two pretty different skill sets. Never mind two pretty different personality trait sets. They sometimes overlap, but this is kind of rare. So every visionary needs an operations person. And this is where I come in. This is why people come to me, because I believe in them and I can help with the operations. I can take all the mundane stuff on myself so the visionary can continue to create.
Marina, thank you for sharing with us a little bit of how you got started in helping people boost their productivity. And one of the things that you help people with is, as we mentioned a little earlier, helping people get those 10 to 20 more productive hours back each week. And I'm wondering how exactly do you get that? I mean, like, obviously it differs for each person, differs for each work ethic, existing systems and things like that. But for the typical entrepreneur, how are you getting 10 to 20 more productive hours back for that individual?
Great question. So there are a few deciding factors. First of all, let's start with the overlooked one. Do you know what your focus patterns are? And what I mean by that is, do you know how you focus best? And if I'm even more specific, do you know how you focus on creative tasks best? Do you work really well and get immersed in your work if you have no less than 2 hours? Or would an hour and a half be enough? Or maybe you need a full day to really, truly get down to a creative task and, you know, get it done. So, for instance, I had a client who needed a full day to work on collecting and creating her recipes. She was a health coach. Give her anything less than that, she becomes tense. And it's not like she'll do half the job. She may be, you know, may do like three recipes. But if she is getting the entire day, she settles in, and once she gets going, she gets going. So the entire like chapter gets accomplished. So focus patterns is knowing yourself, knowing how you work best, and designing your schedule around this, making sure that you don't get interrupted by meetings or by mundane stuff, and protecting your creative tasks, making sure your environment is conducive rather than distracting. So for instance, if you work better in a cafe, go to a cafe. If you work better with music, specifically instrumentals, do that. If you work in the office and there are other people, maybe you need to put, you know, headphones on to make sure you don't get distracted, and blocking off the time on the calendar so people don't schedule stuff over it, so you can be fully committed to your creative task. And you get accomplished a ton when you follow your own focus patterns. So that's thing one. Thing two, you know how I mentioned designing my week? I highly recommend it to all entrepreneurs in general, especially those of us who don't work in a structured environment. What do I mean by designing my week? I have anchors throughout my week. So I know that on the same day of the week, at the same time, you know, Monday morning, Tuesday afternoon, Friday in the middle of the day, I have a specific kind of activity. Some people call it theming. You know, maybe you heard about Mike Vardy, the productivityist. He calls it theming. Each day has a theme, sometimes more than one. Wow, my throat is really killing me tonight. So when I know that my Tuesday morning is when I do my writing, I come into my day with a mindset right for this task, right? I don't need to make decisions what it is that I'm going to do. I don't need to figure out when to plug in a certain task. So let's say I know that in the next week, I plan to do 3 blog posts. I know when I'm going to do them. I'm going to do them on Tuesday mornings and Thursday mornings because these are my writing times. They're not going to fall through the cracks. And this is how you add productive hours into the week. And that's before we talk about putting systems in place and making sure you don't, you know, waste time on mundane decisions. You're making sure that you're not making stupid mistakes, especially stupid money mistakes. Your, say, invoicing systems is in place and you have a good sales funnel and you have a clear system to communicate with your team or with your vendors or with your JV partners, and you have templates, all these things, little by little, they're all adding hours into your week. So I hope that answers your question.
And like, I really like the suggestions you gave, like theming your days also, because it's easier to do a certain task when you just give it one day of the week instead of spreading it out with all these different things that you have to do. Like for Breakthrough Success, during the summertime, I do all my interviews on Monday, and I'm never doing a lot of episodes more than 2 days a week, even when college is in session. So it's really good to theme your days. It's a very powerful tactic. And Marina also talked about setting up systems, which is something that I like to get into a little more, because systems are what allow you to have this, like, you know, it's like some people talk about the autopilot business. Some people talk about a business that runs itself, but a lot of that is based on systems and having the right people. So Marina, I'm wondering if you could go into detail about setting up the systems that allow our businesses to go on autopilot for like some of its areas or even all of its areas.
Well, I would be very careful with the autopilot, because at the end of the day, as a business owner, as a business leader, you're still making the key decisions. But in order to create room for these key decisions, many things should be systemized. Now, when we talk about systems, there are some absolutely essential ones, and there are some that are nice to have. What are the essential ones? You know, well, the non-negotiables. I have a bunch of different talks and workshops, and I always speak about the systems that are absolutely non-negotiable if you want to survive in your business. First, systems to do with money. You know, money mistakes are costly in a very literal sense. They're also costly in an emotional sense. It's an incredibly charged subject, and we fret about money like we do about nothing else. So systems that can take care of your shopping cart, of your invoices, of your budget, of the cash flow, of your, you know, payment, of following up with your clients, delivering your services or products, everything that can be automated there should be automated, because this just takes out so much stress. Never mind the time. Of course, it saves time. Of course, it saves money. But it also saves an enormous amount of stress and anxiety. So systems around money have to be in place. And again, which systems? Everything to do with invoicing and payment, sales funnels. If you're really good, a great system for budgeting. And if you're really, really, really good, now if you're kind of more advanced, a system around pricing. So essentially, you need to have a process to figure out how you price your offerings, be it physical products, be it coaching programs, or anything in between, like any kind of offering, essentially. So you need a good system to figure out your pricing. This is, by the way, people get really anxious about putting a dollar figure on their product, because, you know, we're kind of offering ourselves up to the world. We're opening ourselves up for judgment when we put a price tag on our stuff. Having a system for that really helps you cope with the emotional side. So that's about money. Another system that is completely and utterly non-negotiable is a system for team communication. You have to be extremely, extremely, extremely clear, making sure people know what you want them to do, and making sure that people can talk to you in the way that you understand. So I'll give you a couple examples, like how bad it could be if you don't have a system for that. I used to work way back when. I used to intern for an interior design company, and I love the examples from there, because forgive me, my former designer boss, you were one of the key reasons I started my business in the first place, because I saw what a disaster dysfunctional business really can be. So if we talk about system communications, she would yell at the guys on her team, start writing. I'm going to need this, this, and this from Home Depot. You know, we're talking about interior design firm. And they would, you know, they would pretend that they're listening and they're writing. And then she would leave the room and they would say, we're not going to go to Home Depot. She'll change her mind in an hour. She doesn't know what she wants. And nothing would happen subsequently. Or another example from the same person. Once she told me to get quotes on a couple cars in the business for insurance. And I'm like, okay, what cars? Oh, there's this information in the yellow file. Okay. I spend the next 3 hours going over different insurance quotes with different companies and very happily presenting it to her at the end of the process. She goes, no, I didn't mean Ford. I meant the golden van. I meant this car. I'm like, awkward silence. That's the information that was in the file. So now what happened? I'm unhappy because I spent 3 hours doing, you know, what I thought was a really good job, and my boss is not appreciating it. She's unhappy because the stupid intern couldn't figure out what to do, and now it's not done, and she needs to do it herself. Why the heck does she need to do everything herself in this business? Well, it's been 8 years and it's all so hard. So here is what happens when you have a bad system for communicating with your team, right? Things don't get done and your team stops respecting you and everybody's unhappy and you need to do everything yourself. So you absolutely need a good, clear system for communications. What it usually includes, it includes probably a weekly meeting with a very clear agenda. You know, when you could start with, what's done? What's wrong? What went wrong? What's next? What are you proud of? And a great tip that I got from Henry Lopez from The How of Business is start with a positive. Make sure your team tells you about the good things. This way, people are actually looking forward to these meetings. They don't skip them, and they're much more inclined to cooperate with you. Right? You build a strong relationship. You build better trust. So this is how you deal with team communication systems. Couple more. Obviously, a good system for managing your time. We talked about theming. I would throw in two more things about time management. One, on the very granular level, put everything you can on reminders. You don't need to think about stuff. Like, you don't need to keep things in your head. You have technology for this today. So everything and their daughter on reminders. On the other, on kind of the more macro scale, you need a system for long-term and mid-term planning. And I noticed that a ton of entrepreneurs are really good at setting goals, and maybe it's some kind of a long-term planning and also about, you know, the immediate stuff, the day-to-day things, but the mid-term planning really falls through the cracks. The part where you break down your big plan into smaller chunks that would be later translatable into daily tasks, this is where things fall apart and you really, really need a good system to help you with the midterm planning. Midterm, you know, a couple weeks ahead. So that's that. And the last system that you really, really need in order to survive is a system for managing information. And that could be as easy as a good filing tree on your Google Drive or your Dropbox, or a good system to manage your email. That's actually, you know, if you have 5-digit number of unreads in your inbox, you can be in some kind of trouble. So a good system to navigate your email. I think these are the essentials. You know, I'm not specifically not talking about sales because it combines communications and money. But some people say that sales is such a big issue. It's such a lifeblood of a business that you need a systems for sales per se, like it deserves its own title. I sometimes see it as a combination of communications and money. So that, there's that.
Marina, thank you for sharing with us all the different systems that we need to adopt. And that idea of automating as many things we could automate, that is going to take away a lot of the stress. So like, there's a time to create a system to make easier for you. There's a time to create a system for someone else, so it's easier for them. And there's a time where you can just automate the process as well. So there's a lot of different ways to approach creating a system that achieves the end goal of allowing us to save more hours while getting a better result. But when it comes to productivity, obviously, like, some people are more productive than others, but what do you believe holds most people back from reaching a very high level of productivity?
You know, that's pretty deep. I think there are a number of reasons. Reason number one is probably, well, I can't rank them. You know what? So I'll throw out the few most common. It's anxiety levels. When we're anxious, it's very hard for us to be productive. And sometimes, you know, the lack of sleep and bad food and lack of self-care really play into that, because that could really increase our anxieties. Mindset work, lack of support system, you know, lack of accountability, all these things, they all contribute to our anxiety levels. And let me tell you, when you are stressed and anxious, you don't do your best work. You don't do your best work. The sense of not being fully in control is wasting a ton of time, not just, you know, very practical sense, not just your mental energy wasted, it's like literal minutes, hours on the day, because you sit there and you worry and you fret, and you feel as you're so not in control, you can't outsource. That's another thing, right? If you don't have a good process that you can hand over to somebody else and you do everything yourself, you're inevitably going to hurt your productivity, because you are not equally good at everything. You're good in a few, you know, zones of genius. Speaking of, I think the more we stay in our zone of genius, the more productive we are. So for instance, if you are a marketer, but you really don't feel like doing Excel spreadsheets, go ahead, outsource your Excels. Go ahead, outsource, you know, your sales funnels. Do the marketing copy, because this is where you shine, right? Go build a website, because you're a website builder. This is what you do really well. Don't deal with design, hire a designer. So being productive is very much about staying in your zone of genius and not feeling too much anxiety. Another, like, why people don't reach their peak productivity, we kind of talked about this, but people are disorganized. And what do I mean by that? People waste a lot of time on decisions that they're not really supposed to make. Decisions on what to do today, decisions, which task should I transition to? Oh, that's a huge productivity hop, the transition, time and space. So let's say you finished building, you know, you finished working on a website and you need to now look at your budget because it's the time for a quarterly review or something. But you really don't feel like it, and you're not sure where your budget is located, and you kind of thought that you're going to do it with your two team members, but you're not sure if they're up for it, and you kind of forgot if you talked to one but not the other, so you need to check with them. And once you open your email, something pops from Facebook, and you go on Facebook, and you, oops, spent 20 minutes there, and you basically kind of, you know, all over the place, and you're overwhelmed. So this inability to handle transitions between tasks, the inability of having the right rituals, can really, you know, hamper our productivity. I have a feeling that you're looking for like tricks and some, you know, insight, some secret information. And you know what? There are some tricks, but ultimately, it boils down to managing your anxiety levels, being very organized about your time, knowing what you do, and having a good process both to go through yourself and to outsource, and then to like talk to the people that work for you that you outsource the stuff to. It's actually really basic. It's, you know, I have a feeling that if people are expecting to hear something new that they completely don't know, I'm going to disappoint them. It's about organizing your time, being consistent with it, being gentle with yourself when you break your habits and going right back to the habits, you know, forgiving yourself for getting carried away and going right back to your schedule the next time. That's when productivity really flourishes. So when you know what to do, when you know that you can handle the unexpected stuff because you have a system to fall back on, right? So that's actually a good example right there. Let's say you have a great schedule for your week. You know what you do every day. You know that you do fundraising on Fridays and that you do outreach on Wednesdays and you work with your team members on the latest creative projects on Mondays and Tuesdays. And it's all going really well for a few weeks. And then, let's say you didn't have a good system for managing your money, you realize that you're scraping the bottom. And if you don't, and here's a quote from one of my former clients, if I don't get $30,000 into my company by Friday, my company ceases to exist. In this scenario, your nice design of your week goes out of the window because you urgently need to dedicate all your time and effort to fundraising. You know, I said, of course, forget the schedule, go and start calling your donors, calling your investors. So he did, and he saved the company. And then gradually he went right back to the system he already had. And you know, when you have a system, it's kind of good in preventing the next existential crisis. So again, that's what productivity is about. Far less about the tricks, far less about the perfect morning rituals. They help. They're great. It's more about, you know, keeping a good, consistent lifestyle, taking care of yourself, knowing your focus patterns, knowing what you do when, handling transitions. That's really what it is.
Marina, thank you for sharing those great insights. And it is like there is the foundation going back to the basics and mastering those. There are like different productivity tips out there, but there are a lot of really basic ones too that do lay the foundation for being able to get a lot accomplished and getting a lot of the meaningful goals accomplished as well, instead of just busy work, instead you're being productive. So I like that focus on the building the foundation. But regardless of how well we build our foundations, there are going to be certain challenges that test the foundation, such as trying to raise money for business like by Friday. With that in mind, I'm wondering if you could share with us one big challenge you faced in your journey and a powerful lesson you learned during that challenge.
Oh, just one. Challengers are aplenty. Well, you know what? Let me tell you about that time when I launched my first pilot course. It was last summer. When we do something new, it's very hard to predict how the things are really going to turn out. You might have guessed by this point that I'm a systems person and I like planning things ahead of time and I like assigning the right amount of money and the right amount of time and the right amount of energy to everything. And then I did something very, very new to me, namely, I created a course and I was teaching it more or less as I was creating it. So, you know, I would create a module and teach it next week. And while I was teaching, I would create the next module and teach it the week after. And a ton of research went into that and a ton of work and trial and error and, you know, a lot of engagement with students. All of this to say this was a boatload of work. So much so that in the end, I was exhausted to the degree of not being able to walk upright. Like I very clearly remember, and I think I told this story in multiple podcasts, the only thing that allowed me to walk, like from my chair to the car, was a scoop of espresso ice cream with double chocolate fudge on top. That's how flat out tired I was. Now, this is not quite a crisis, but it's definitely a crunch time, like a dictionary definition. What do you do when you have this crazy crunch time? And how do you come back to normal when it's over, right? Okay, so I launched this course. It got rave reviews. I got really wonderful feedback. I learned a ton from my students. Now what? I'm depleted. I'm barely functioning. I know I need to recover. I have zero motivation to do the next big thing. Oh, and to top it all off, I launched a podcast at the same time, my previous podcast. And right after everything finished, I flew with my family to an epic trip, like one of the biggest, most powerful experiences of my life. And it wasn't a very relaxing experience. It was amazing, it was incredible, but it wasn't relaxing in the slightest. Okay, and now I'm back after these two extremely shaking happenings in my life. How the heck do I get back to myself and to my work? Because, you know, the work is there. If I don't do it, nobody else will. And this was a really slow road back with a lot of guilt that, oh, I'm not at 100%. I just came from vacation. I should be all invigorated. But I gradually built a process of coming back from a crunch time. I took all these little building blocks off, taking my systems from before and trying to follow them, enlisting as much support as I can, you know, relying very, very heavily on my rituals from before and celebrating every small win along the way. It's like, oh, I was able to work for an hour today. That's good. That's better than yesterday. Oh, I was able to write for 3 hours. I rock. I'm amazing. Now, oh, I took a couple clients on and the meetings were good. All right. I think I'm becoming human again. And, you know, you celebrate and you record all these small wins. You build up the motivation. You build up the momentum again after the crunch time. And you constantly engage in this self-forgiveness. Like, okay, don't beat yourself up. You're not 100%, that's normal. You'll be at 100%. And the fewer, you know, the less you beat yourself over it, the sooner you'll be back in the saddle. So now I have, you know, I've done it. So I have a full blog series about it. If you want, I can give you the link in the show notes. How do you come back from a serious crunch time? And now I can teach it.
Marina, thank you for sharing that challenge. And we do face that crunch time like that. Like, we'll definitely include that link to your blog post in the show notes. But like this whole idea of like when you pursue a big project, like for me, I did a content marketing success summit and the productivity virtual summit, like one summit in June, the other summit. It's kind of blurring out on me, but I want to say like November or September, like one of those two, I put them really close together.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt overwhelmed. Like it was very hard for me to get back after the productivity virtual summit because it's interviewing over 100 people. It's creating landing pages for each of those 100 people. Like I didn't really have a big team with me for those summits. It was just people who helped out with editing videos and putting them into Vimeo, but pretty much the rest of it was my work, from the communications to being the JV manager. So there was like I did feel the overwhelm. So it's just something that like stuff like that happens, and it's just being able to take some time off, being able to reinvigorate. So I feel like your challenge is very relatable to a lot of people who pursue the big project recently. And just one of the ways that helped me and continues helping me to this day is acquiring as much knowledge as possible. So with that in mind, Marina, I'm wondering if you could share with us three great books that you believe will have a positive impact on us?
Three great books. Okay, let me think. So why don't I give you two recent books that I read and I really liked, and one classic?
Sure.
So the classic is the easiest. It's been written probably 20 odd years ago. I don't remember the exact year it came out, but it's David Allen's Getting Things Done. It's a really, really, really great fundamentals book. It's all there. It's dated in the sense that, you know, we now live in a different world with all the electronics, but the key principles, I learned them in that first job in the US when I was barely swimming with my head above the water and I was listening to it on my commute to work, and that's probably the only thing that saved me. But the key principles are still very, very true. And it's beautifully written. It's like extremely readable, or it's very easy to listen. It's fun. It's very easy to digest. And it's a great way to start reassessing your productivity. He's like a person you'd like to hang out with. So that's book number one. Another book that is kind of more unexpected, it's called Faster Than Normal. For those of us in the ADHD community, and ADHD is extremely, extremely, extremely common among entrepreneurs for very obvious reasons. These are exactly the people who don't fit in within the regular, you know, rigid frameworks, don't do very well in corporate sometimes. These are people with extra creativity. These are the people who are able to hyper-focus very often. These are the people who have more energy than the rest of us mortals. So they go into entrepreneurship, like they generate ideas at a machine gun speed, right? So Faster Than Normal is a book talking about how to harness your ADHD gift. Notice how I don't say that it's a disorder. It's a gift. How to harness it to make your life better. He talks a lot about business by Peter Schenkman, whom I know personally, and I think he's awesome. And I follow his work for years now. So he talks a lot about getting the advantages of the ADHD and using them to your advantage rather than trying to fight it and fit in within, you know, quote unquote, normal person boundaries. So Faster Than Normal by Peter Schenkman. And the last book would be The Coaching Habit by Michael Wangensteiner. Again, extremely well-written. Like, I was reading it, I wanted to hug him after each paragraph because it just rings so, so, so true. It's especially, especially helpful if you have a small team, but not necessarily, because he approaches business from a coaching perspective. Like, this book helps you ask the right questions and view the world in a much clearer way. Like, it really helps you make better decisions and be more confident and relaxed in the process. I know it may sound a little woo-woo, but trust me, it's extremely practical. So there you go. Coaching Habit by Michael Wangensteiner.
Marina, thank you for sharing those great book recommendations. We'll include all of those in the show notes, markcabrera.com/e222. And for anyone who wants their copy of Content Marketing Secrets, that will also be in the show notes, but the link to that is markcabrera.com/book. And before we wrap up this episode, Marina, I've asked you several questions throughout our time together, but what do you believe is one question that we need to be asking ourselves more often?
Wow. Can I take a moment to think?
Yeah, sure.
You know what? Here's the question you should be asking yourself more often. Is this really valuable? What do I mean by that? You know this Pareto principle when 20% of your input gets you 80% of your output? Familiar with that? You know, 20% of your client bring 80% of your revenue, and so on and so forth. Obviously, it's a principle, so it doesn't always, always, always work this way. But as a guideline, you should be asking yourself more often when you do something, is it within this 20 proverbial percent? Is that really meaningful? Is that the thing that I should be doing to really bring more, you know, revenue, to bring more reach out, to bring more impact, to bring better service? So for every activity, you should ask yourself, is it really within the 20%?
Marina, thank you for sharing with us that great question. And we should continue thinking about what is in that 20% and just focus on the few things that lead to the most results. So thank you for sharing with us that great question, all of your great insights throughout this episode. And for anyone who wants to keep up with Marina, she has a free course called Which System to Tackle First. A little bit based on what we talked about already, there's a lot of extra stuff in that free course as well. That link will be in the show notes. Again, marketbirdie.com/E222. But I can't thank you enough, Marina, for taking the time to share all of your great insights with us. It was such a pleasure to have you on Breakthrough Success.
Thank you, Mark. That's one super high energy podcast. So I had fun being here. You asked great questions. And, you know, I'll continue tuning in. I'm like really honored to be here. Thanks.
How does over 100 retweets per day sound to you? My free ebook, 27 Ways to Get More Retweets on Twitter, has you covered. I use the methods within this ebook to get over 10,000 retweets every single quarter. To learn